Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also would like to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. We have Bible videos under a special study tab that says Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, and they are on a various number of subjects. You can take a look at them. And also, we have a host of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times and our Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. You'll always be warmly received. Our desire is to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are concluding the book and the study of 1 Peter this morning by looking at the 5th chapter. Last week, we discussed the first 4 verses. Today, we want to discuss the verse 5 through 11 and bring this particular part of 1 Peter to a close. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, the last few verses of this chapter, 12 through 14, are some personal greetings that the Apostle Peter gives and a benediction at the end. But we're just going to cover the end of the book, of the teaching of the book, in looking at the qualities of the right habitude. Remember, we talked about the habitude last week, and when we're talking about habitude, we're talking about the customary manner, the customary behavior or manner of one's life. Now let's look at the quality and character of the lives that we should live. We're to be humble in verse 5 and 6. Elders refers to elder, or older in contrast to younger. It means self-denial. It means modest, sense of one's own smallness, opposed to being haughty and proud, not arrogant, not placing themselves above others. We need to have humility like an apron, and we need to demonstrate it by the way that we treat other people and how we interact with them. Do submit, show subjection by humility to the leaders. We need to show our subjection to the leaders. As we mentioned last week, Hebrews 13 verse 17 commands us to submit under the authority of the elders, but we should also have a respect and reverence and attitude of respecting the older, and because of the wisdom that they have by their experience and observation. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. Read Proverbs 3:34. Perhaps he might be thinking of his time when he had to rebuke the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12. Matthew 23:12, we read, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We need to have this spirit of humility. We need to have it in all relationships that we have in the Lord's church. We need to trust in God, verse 7 says. Life without worry, not with fretting, not with needless anxiety. Read Matthew 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 25 through 34. It also may refer to Psalms chapter 55. And verse number 22, Psalms 55 and verse number 22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." And so we must have this trust. We must cast our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Nobody cares for us like God does. God is concerned about us. He worries about us. And He's there for us. And so we can cast our care on Him because we know that He's concerned. He loves us, and He also has the power in order to help us. Verse 8 says we need to be sober. That means calmness of mind, self-control. We have a well-balanced and serious approach to our lives. We are to be vigilant. That means on alert. That means watchful. It's already been used twice in chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 4, and verse 7. Fact is that we are to cast our care upon God. Doesn't mean to sit back and do nothing. Trust in God, but keep your powder dry, as one writer put it. We need to understand that we need to be all on alert to know that our enemy is trying to deceive us. He's trying to mislead us. And that's what verse 8 and 9 get into. Our adversary, we've got to resist the devil. He's our adversary. He's the one that's out to destroy us. He's roaring. He's fierce. He's a lion. He stalks and he crouches in the bushes and seeks to destroy. He walks about. He has restless energy to develop, to seek, and to destroy. If don't develop and maintain the right habitude, the devil will win his battle for your soul. We need to understand that we have a worthy adversary. He's going to come after us. You know, lions, they go after those who straggle, those who are weak, and those who are feeble. And that's what they do. They look for those who lag behind, those who are weaker and more feeble, and that's the ones the lions attack and pounce on. Same way with the devil. He's going to use your infirmities. He's going to use your difficulty. He's going to use your trials in order to try to destroy your faith, to destroy your relationship with God. He doesn't want you to become an evil person. He just wants you to quit serving God. He wants you not to trust Him. He wants you not to turn to Him, and He wants you to try to do it on your own. And all along, when you do that, you play right into His hands. He wants to make you more vulnerable and easier target that He might lead you away from God. What is the result of having the right manner and custom of life? Well, it strengthens us in verse 10. Perfect means to mend, to repair, to make complete. Established means to support, make firm. Strengthen means to make strong against another attack. Settle means to make us stable. Through suffering and maintain, we maintain the right habitude. Suffering is meant by God to add the grace that notes to our life. But when we do this, God is glorified. God is glorified because why? Because we have stood the test. We have weathered the storm. And we will gain eternal life, according to verse number 10. You see, you've got to have the right life. You've got to have the right conduct. Now, let me try to sum up what this whole book in 1 Peter has been trying to tell us. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter is trying to give us very practical instruction that we might understand the need to be faithful to God. When we looked at chapter number 1, we talked about the living hope that we have through the resurrection of Christ. We talked about the incorruptible and undefiled reward that fades not away, that's reserved in heaven in chapter 1. We talked about the genuineness of our faith being pushed by trials and tribulation and tested that we might be stronger and better equipped. In chapter number 2, we looked at newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. In the middle of chapter 2, we talked about the prophecy of Jesus being the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, but was rejected by the builders because He did not offer them what they wanted or what they thought that He would offer. And then we talked about the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we had responsibilities and duties as God's people to shine as lights in the dark world. And then we talked about having honorable conduct. And then when we got to chapter number 3, we talked about wives and their submission to their husbands, and how their adornment is to be more of an inward than outward adornment. And they are to trust the Lord. And they are to be submissive to their own husbands. And then later on in chapter number 3, we saw that we are not to render evil for evil, but we are to bless our enemy. And that the Lord's eyes are open to the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. And so we must seek to always maintain a proper relationship with God. It is better for the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. That's what Peter said in chapter 3 and verse 17. And then we discussed a little bit about baptism and the type and anti-type that's referred to in 1 Peter 3, 20 through 21. And then in chapter number 4, we talked about social drinking and all levels of drinking being condemned in the first three verses of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, as a work of the Gentiles that do not know God. That's those who do not know God and do not have a relationship with God. They practice ungodly things. Drinking is in that category. We need to understand that when we oppose such things, the world's going to think that we're strange and there's something odd about us because we don't run with the crowd. We're to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. If we speak, we're to speak the oracles of God, the sayings and the teachings of God. And we are to minister as he gives us ability. And if we suffer as a Christian, that fiery trial should not catch us unaware. Other people suffered before us. People will suffer after us. We must remain faithful and committed to our God no matter what we may go through. And if we suffer as a Christian, we need not be ashamed. We need to glorify God in that matter. And then we looked at the end of chapter 4 that the time of judgment begins with us. It begins with us. And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? You see, in all of these chapters of this particular book by 1 Peter, he is giving us practical applications in how to conduct our lives in order, first of all, to be strengthened and to be edified, but more than that, to be pleasing to the God that we serve and to be an example to those who are around us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. We live in an ungodly world. We live in a world of darkness that made dark by sin. People are looking for a beacon. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something that will guide them out of the darkness, will lead them to the light. That's to be our lives. That's to be the way that we conduct ourselves. That's our habitude. That's our customary way of life. And it's depicted that we are Christians and that we don't belong to the world. The sad truth of the matter is this, ladies and gentlemen. Many times we are not very successful as God's people because there's not much distinction between how we live and how they live. We don't conduct ourselves in a manner that would depict that we belong to the Lord, that we are part of his kingdom and we are part of his army and his family. And we ought to demonstrate that by the conduct of our lives, by our actions, by our words, and by the things that we say. And we need to understand that all of that is a ramification of who we belong to, and it is a representation that we follow the Lord, that we belong to him, and we are trying to encourage other people to get on board and to follow him and conduct their lives in a way that would be pleasing to God, but most of all would be beneficial to them as they live in this ungodly and perverse generation. What about it, dear listener? What path are you traveling? What kind of example are you? What kind of influence are you wielding to those who watch you live every day? Do they see God living in you? Do they see an example of a Christian? Do they see an example of one who's seeking to please God above all else? If not, why not come and be with us and let us show you how God can give you the example.